From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
The so-called P4 Plus One group met in Vienna on Tuesday and held a video conference with their counterparts in Iran aimed at restarting talks on the so-called JCPOA agreement, commonly known in the U.S. as the Iran nuclear deal. However, there are some points of contention, as illustrated first by these comments by U.S. State Department spokesperson Ned Price at his daily presser in Washington Tuesday.
These are early days. We don't anticipate any immediate breakthrough. We don't anticipate being in a position to provide any sort of live commentary on these discussions. We know these will be tough talks. We know there will be difficult discussions ahead. But again, this is a healthy step forward. It's a healthy step forward because it allows us to move forward with what we see is as the only path to achieve what President Biden and as a candidate Biden laid out. And that is a mutual return to compliance. What we recognize is that we will need to provide sanctions relief for sanctions that are inconsistent with the JCPOA. But again, that's why we have a working group focused on this, and I wouldn't want to discuss it from here. We would need to provide sanctions relief for sanctions that are inconsistent with the JCPOA.
Oh, no. Really? No. I think what the Iranians are looking for is an easing of sanctions that were lifted consistent with the JCPOA.
I think we're saying the same thing.
We're saying
exactly the same thing.
But apparently, they're not saying the same thing. That according to a top Iranian official. That official, Abbas Araghchi, told Press TV that the U.S. must lift its anti-Iran sanctions altogether and in one step if it seeks to rejoin the 2015 agreement. He spoke with Press TV outside the venue of the session of the JCPOA in Vienna.
They have left the JCPOA and they have imposed sanctions. So obviously, if they want to come back, they have lift all those sanctions all together in one step. That is quite logic, and that is a very reasonable demand by the Islamic Republic of Iran. We only go back to full compliance when the U.S. has lifted all sanctions imposed or reimposed or relabeled after January 2017 and has verified by the Islamic Republic of Iran. Then we would go for full compliance.
Meanwhile, in New Delhi, Russia's Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov sat down with India's Foreign Minister Subramaniam Jayashankar to discuss bilateral issues between the two. After their meeting, they held a press conference, and we bring you that in its entirety.
There was naturally an exchange of views and assessments on important regional and global matters. This had particular importance because we are both members of the UN Security Council right now. We are a non-permanent member. Russia is a permanent member. Issues on which India is chairing UNSC committees came up in some detail. India has also taken over the chair of BRICS and RIC from Russia for this year. And our common membership of the G20, ASEAN-led forums, SCO, and the SICA added to the substance of our conversation. One question on which we spent some time is the unfolding developments in and around Afghanistan. As you all know, the Heart of Asia Istanbul Process Conference took place last week. I was in Dushanbe for that. There have been other discussions of a bilateral or plurilateral nature as well. Many more can be expected in the coming days. For India, what happens in Afghanistan impacts its security directly. I shared our approach that a durable peace there would require harmonizing interests of all, both within and around that country. The peace process must be based on foundational principles to which we all subscribe, and a political solution should mean an independent, sovereign, united, and democratic Afghanistan. There was an exchange of views on West Asia, the Gulf, and Iran. This is a geography where we both have long-standing equities, and our active diplomacy reflects that to great measure. Peace and stability in such a sensitive and vital region is in global interest. I shared our viewpoint on the Indo-Pacific. As our Prime Minister pointed out at the Shangri-La dialogue some years ago, contemporary challenges require countries to work together in new and different ways. Such cooperation also reflects the multipolar and rebalanced character of global politics. India is strongly committed to ASEAN centrality, and this is underlined by the Indo-Pacific Oceans Initiative that it has been advocating at the East Asia Summit. As we implement our Act East and Beyond policy, Russia is a very important partner, whether it is their Far East or whether it is the Chennai-Vladivostok corridor. In addition, of course, there was the larger backdrop of global political changes that provided a context for our talks today. As long-standing partners, we could discuss their implications with a high degree of confidence and comfort. I valued the quality of our discussions today very much. We have completed a decade of our special and privileged strategic partnership, and that certainly permeated the tenor of our discussions. We also reviewed the forthcoming high-level exchanges leading up to the annual summit this year. Once again, Minister Lavrov, it's a great pleasure to welcome you back to New Delhi, and I would request you to make your statement.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I share the assessments that have been just expressed by my colleague and friend, Mr. Subrahmanyam Jaishankar. Our talks were quite constructive and productive and trusting, as is custom in the relations between the Russian Federation and India. These relations are traditionally mutually respectful, and they are not. It is not changing. We are happy to state that despite the pandemic of COVID-19, there is a good dynamic of the bilateral dialogue. We have overlapping opinions on a number of matters, which emphasizes the maturity and stability of our relations that are characterized, stipulated in the document signed at the highest level as a privileged strategic partnership. And we paid also a lot of attention to the future bilateral context, including at the highest level. What I mean is the visit of the President of the Russian Federation to the Republic of India. I handed over to my colleague oral statement message by President of Russia, President Putin, to Prime Minister Modi regarding these issues as well. We have agreed to work together to overcome the decline in the trade turnover caused by the pandemic, to increase the investment activity in accordance with the national program working in the both countries. We have paid special attention to such sectors as power, including nuclear power, space exploration, transport and infrastructure projects, including in the forest and in the Arctic. Making it all come true will facilitate our work as the co-chairs at the regular Intergovernmental Commission on the Trade, Scientific and Cultural Cooperation between our countries. We have agreed to work on the updated Intergovernmental Agreement on the Protection of the Investment and to increase the share of national currencies in the mutual settlement, and improving the trade with New Delhi is one of the priorities of the Eurasian Economic Union, and we hope that the negotiations will be launched to sign agreement about the free trade zone between Eurasian Economic Organization and India. We have discussed the prospects of the bilateral military technical cooperation, including the joint manufacturing of the modern weapons, advanced weapons in India. In this strategically important area, Russia is the leading player and partner. We are the only partner that is actually handing over the most advanced cutting-edge military technology to India. I'm convinced that It corresponds to the national interests of both states. And of course, we respect the right of our Indian friends to diversify their ties in this regard. We have also positively estimated the cooperation in the peaceful space exploration with an emphasis on such areas as the manned flights, engines building, and the satellite navigation. We have exchanged our opinions regarding the most pressing issues of the global agenda, and it has shown an overlapping approach to a number of issues. We have talked about the peaceful settlement in Afghanistan, about the Syrian crisis, about the situation with the Iranian nuclear program, the situation in Myanmar. And we have also talked about the situation in Eurasia and generally in the Asia-Pacific region, including our relations with ASEAN. And we both have emphasized the importance of keeping the central role that ASEAN is playing in a lot of forums, platforms that is working in the region. We have also highly appraised the role of Russia and India internationally, including at such platforms as SEO, UN, the G20 group BRICS, where India is going to take over chairmanship this year. We have also talked about the importance of working in the RIC format with Russia, India, and China, and the importance of the Eastern Asian summits. We are grateful to our Indian counterparts for the responsible approach to the global agenda and for coordinating our matters in all important issues. And there is additional impetus given by the membership of India in the Security Council of the UN in 2021 and 2022. In general, I'm quite happy with the results of the talks and by the desire to develop further the cooperation between our countries. I have invited my colleague and friend to visit Russia, and I hope it is going to happen in near future. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Excellency. I will now invite questions for the dignitaries. Unfortunately, I know there's a lot of interest, but given the time constraints, we will be limiting to two questions from the Indian media and two from the Russian media. From the first question, perhaps Rezaul Hasan Laskar from the HT.
My question is for the Russian foreign minister. Good afternoon, Rezaul Hasan from the Hindustan Times. In recent years, there's been growing minister here. In recent times, there's been growing political trust and military cooperation between China and Russia. And this has led to some speculation in some quarters about a possibility of a China-Russia military alliance. Does the foreign minister think that the two countries are heading in that direction?
No, and we have talked about this, and it's stipulated in the documents that were endorsed at the highest level during the Russian-Chinese summit, where it says that our relations have reached probably, not probably, for sure, the best level ever, but we are not looking for creating a military alliance. We hear the speculations regarding military alliances, not only in regard of the Russian-China, and I have already answered a question about this. There are speculations that there should be a project about creating Eastern NATO or even Asian NATO. We have exchanged opinions regarding this today, and our Indian friends and ourselves share the approach that it's going to be counterproductive. We are interested in having inclusive cooperating and in benefit of something, not against someone or something.
Next question to Russian journalist Igor Zhadnov from Russia Today. There you are. Thank you.
Yes, Igor Zhdanov, RT. My question is to both ministers. It's on vaccine cooperation. There's a good chance that Russia's Sputnik V vaccine might be approved for emergency use in India. So have you discussed maybe doing something similar about the Indian vaccine, Covaxin, in Russia? And on the back of this, maybe a quick comment, if I may, from the Russian Foreign Minister, Sergei Lavrov, on current affairs. I will switch to Russian on that. Сергей Викторович, как бы вы прокомментировали?
Mr. Lavrov, how would you comment the recent statement of the Ukrainian officials and military regarding the situation on Donbass? How close is the region to escalation, and how would you comment on the United States and Europe's position on this matter? Thank you very much.
Что касается вакцин?
Well, as for vaccines. As for vaccines, well, that's right, you said it right, that we work closely with our Indian friends, and the Russian Direct Investment Fund signs contracts and agreements with several Indian companies to manufacture Sputnik V vaccine. I guess it's something like 700 or 750 million of doses. And it is possible because there are facilities in India to do that. And I think that the future cooperation could cover also the manufacturing of the vaccines in Russia. So it's up to the specialists to talk about this and to think about what will be the most efficient way to do this. As for the statement by Ukrainian officials, well, there have been a lot of articles and news pieces about this. We are concerned about this. We have been talking about this with our European counterparts. Hopefully, there will be this understanding of what is going on, and Washington, they will have this understanding. Unfortunately, so far, the actions and reactions of our Western counterparts regarding the increase of the military hardware, about sending troops to the line of contact. So these are disheartening developments. And our Western counterparts, they come from the assumption that Ukrainian authorities must be supported in everything, even in actions and statements that should not be supported. Remember the times when President Zelensky and those who work in the contact group and Normandy Forum regarding the Donbass issue, they keep saying that the Minsk Accords, they only require to maintain sanctions of the West against Russia, or they should be overhauled completely, or they suggest to violate this form, as they offer inviting pro-Ukrainian representatives to join the Normandy Forum and to join the contact group. That said, and there is no reaction to these statements. We haven't heard any reaction, even though these are flagrant violations of all the accords. And now Kyiv switched from the political criticism regarding the Donbas matter to the threats of military action. And I hope that that will shake things up regarding the attitude in Europe and European capitals. And they will demand to fulfill, to implement the Minsk Accords fully from Mr. Zelensky. And we should start from engaging in a dialogue with Donetsk and Lugansk, which is stipulated in the Minsk Accords, to start from there and then move on to eliminate the threats for security, to stop shelling the civilians that results in the casualties among civilians. And that's not the first time it happened. And they should make up their minds in direct dialogue regarding the status of these territories. And we're talking about holding an election there on the conditions agreed with Donetsk and Lugansk. All these things are well known. And unfortunately, every time there is a Normandy Forum, be it at the level of the leaders or at the level of representatives or at the level of the foreign ministry officials, we do not see any active actions on behalf of our French and German counterparts to bring the Ukrainian party back into their senses. And now there is just too many indications that that's what must be done now.
On the vaccines issue, which was also addressed to me, we had a discussion, and clearly, that decision has to be taken by our regulatory authorities. And if for us, were those vaccines to be made in India, it would be one more affirmation of the importance of made in India and our own vaccine capacities. On your other question of Covaxin, I think if my memory serves me right, so far we have sent Covaxin perhaps to 3 or 4 countries abroad. And we would certainly like to promote both made in India and invented in India. It is something I'm sure in due course we would address. On that note, I should also share with you that in our discussions on the economic and business opportunities between India and Russia, I drew to Minister Lavrov's attention the fact that we have a very ambitious program called Production-Linked Incentives to expand manufacturing in India in 13 designated sectors. We believe that this would be a good opportunity for Russian businesses look at partnerships in India, because one thing is very clear, that in the post-COVID world, all of us are going to be very sensitive about our supply chains. All of us would like to be much more secure about, whether it is food, whether it is health, or whether it is actually the requirements of our daily economy. So in all of this, I do see an opportunity, a new opportunity today for India-Russia economic collaboration.
Thank you. The next question from the Indian side, Pranay Upadhyay from ABP News.
My question is to Russian Foreign Minister Lavrov. Sir, this side. Sir, since Moscow is taking a lead in the peace process of Afghanistan, what is your view about any future power sharing agreement where Taliban gets a greater role? Do you think that this would stabilize the situation in Afghanistan, and more so, being a major power in the region, is Russia inclined towards taking a role of responsibility in being a net security provider in the situation? Also, since Russia is actively involved in this region, and since you had a discussion with the Indian foreign minister, what are the areas of cooperation you have identified, both of you have identified, as far as India-Russia cooperation in Afghanistan is concerned?
Что касается талибов,
the Taliban movement is part of the Afghan society. And the decision about the Afghan settlement must be so that it took into consideration all the ethnic and confessional religious groups in Afghanistan. Otherwise, it won't be stable. And so it should be founded on the balance of interest between political, ethnical, and religious groups, including their representation in the bodies of authority. I think any other way that would exclude one or another group from this process, it wouldn't lead to any agreements that would be stable, that would be implementable, and then we would have faced the risk of the review of the military action, which is not the goal of anyone who is participating in the current process. We hope that the agreements reached between the United States and the Taliban under the previous administration will be implemented, because that's true. And back in time, everyone talked about this. It created a chance to achieve agreement among all the parties to the conflict. And it would be really sad if these agreements would be destroyed. As for the providing security in Afghanistan, well, first of all, it depends on how fast and how efficient the settlement process will go. Of course, it must include the matters of the political structure, the representation and the authority in and governance, and also security matters. For years now, we have been doing a lot as the Russian Federation to strengthen the potential of the Afghan army, of the Afghan military. We are supplying them with the hardware, with the equipment. Sometimes we give them discount, or we do it for free, hoping that after Afghanistan reconciled and after all the issues, all the political issues are settled, the international community will be able to help out more actively to strengthen the Afghan law enforcement agencies. And of course, we cannot forget about the global context, because we would welcome, while there is the reconciliation process inside Afghanistan, we would really welcome the process of consultations and negotiations on how we could strengthen these agreements with other agreements to improve security with the inclusion of the Afghanistan's neighbors. And as for India, we have very close positions regarding that. We always advocate to have neighbors and all the influential countries in the region participated in drafting the conditions that would allow Afghans to agree among each other. We think the optimal format to include the outside player is the so-called Moscow format. We have gathered participants a number of times. I would like to remind you, we are not talking only about the adjacent countries to Afghanistan. We're talking about all Central Asian countries, India, Pakistan, China, Iran, the United States, and the Russian Federation. We are ready to hold relevant consultations, to have another meeting, another summit, if it is deemed necessary by all the countries I have just listed. And we will hope that it will give more impetus to the intra-Afghan negotiations that have been launched in the Qatar capital, Doha, but it's facing a number of difficulties now, so it's stuck in a way. So there are a number of factors that are piling up that must be cleared out to understand what we need to do to settle the Afghan process, including the efforts of the outside players. And we have agreed with Minister that our special envoys on Afghanistan will stay in close contact regularly with each other.
Next question to the Russian Federation. Leila Turyanova from TASS.
Leila Turyanova, TASS. Sergey Викторович,
first question is for you. You have mentioned before that the United States have been putting high pressure on India in terms of the military technical cooperation with Russia. Did it make the implementation of the existing agreements any harder? Did it impede the implementation? And how did it impact the negotiations on the new contracts?
Is India considering the possibility of acquiring an additional S-400 regiments from Russia despite the threat of U.S. sanctions? Спасибо.
Well, actually, it was me who said that, that the United States are exerting pressure in India and any other country that has contracts with Russia or plans to sign contracts with Russia for the supply of armament. It was publicly stated by the United States. Everyone is well aware about that. And we are also well aware about the reaction from India. And we haven't discussed these American statements today. We have agreed on promoting our military and technical cooperation. We have intergovernmental commission on military and technical cooperation. It has its own schedule, and they are talking about the prospects of additional manufacturing of the Russian military equipment in India, as part of the concept made in India, as part of the concept independent India. So I haven't felt any doubts from our Indian friends and counterparts.
I think the minister has answered your question, which was we didn't get into any specific discussions. That is a responsibility of a different body, which is headed by our defense ministers, which is due to meet at the end of the year.
Thank you, Honorable Ministers. This concludes the press interaction session. I thank you all for being here.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.